Oh, it's good to be with you again. Have a look around. This is your family. They're pretty good looking, aren't they? Good on you, Gloria. I love it. Well, I don't know about you, but I think there have been quite a few challenges about being the church lately. Haven't had a great rap in the media. It's been some challenges just about feeling like you want to be part of something but doesn't have a great rep, doesn't have a great reputation. What's going on? Sometimes it's been hard to get going. Anyone ever feel like it's hard to get out of bed on a Sunday morning? You're allowed to be honest here. One person, one honest person. Good on you, April. Getting out of bed's easy. It's the bit after getting out of bed that's hard. Thanks, Benita. Yeah. Well, I just felt like today we want to just take a moment and think about what is it that God's inviting us as a church family into? What's he saying to us? And what's his heart for us in this season? So before I just dive into the vision, that was the question that I asked him, God, what are you saying to us at the moment? And I felt like he was saying that there's his part and there's our part. And his part, Jesus said, what did Jesus say about the church? I will build my church. His part is to build the church. Sometimes we get a bit carried away and we try to build the church. Well, I'll put my hand up and say, I've done that plenty of times. But that's actually his part. His part is to build the church. Our part is to be the church. Our part is to build the church. And we can't build the church, and he won't be the church. Because that's the job that he's given us to be. And there's a scripture that we're reminded of from Hebrews, when the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging people and he's saying, let's consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. It's hard to do that if we're not together, isn't it, in some form or other? Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. How encouraging is it to be with one another as we seek to fulfill his vision for us as a church? So, as I was listening to what I was feeling God was saying, kind of overarching the vision in this season, I felt like there was two things that he really wanted to draw our attention to. And the first is that challenge of going out of our way. You know, when COVID was on, we didn't have to go out of our way very much at all, did we? We could stay home. We could keep our slippers on. One of the days, I don't know that you knew this, but one of the days, I was sitting up in my bed when I preached to you on Zoom. I did not even have to go out of my way. I do that quite often because it's warm, you know, it's kind of... Anyway, but, you know, we haven't had to go out of our way, have we? So it's actually hard. You actually have to be really intentional to go out of your way in this season, to get back into... We just think, oh, I can't be bothered. You know, sometimes I've actually wanted takeaway for tea and or, you know, like I've wanted to go out for tea, as in something I didn't have to cook. And I couldn't even be bothered going out for tea. Because we've just found it easier to not go out of our way. And I feel like God's invitation to us in this season is to actually move. Yeah. To do something intentionally out of our way. So that's one. And the second thing is every opportunity prayer. Now, I forgot to ask you, Brian, am I okay to tell the story of your medication? Is that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Just a little story about every opportunity prayer. A few weeks ago, Jenny, you were praying and you felt like God really put Brian on your heart, and she just had a desire to intercede for Brian. This was even before Brian got sick. And she also felt to gather a couple of us to pray for Brian. And we kind of had a little prayer assignment. For 3 weeks we were meant to meet. Once we did it in person, so there was three of us, once we met in person to pray and intercede for Brian, and twice we met over Zoom, because we live in different places. But we had this assignment for 3 weeks to pray for him. And in the middle of that 3 weeks, Brian got sick with COVID. Isn't it? How good is it to have Brian here today with us? We just love you, Brian, and we have missed you so much, and we're so grateful to God for you being here. Now, Brian was really unwell with COVID, so Helen rang the hotline, you know, the health line, and they told her to bring him to hospital. Before they did that, Tash, you knew about a medication that is helpful. I'm hoping I get the details right. Excuse me if I muddle something. Near enough. A medication that was helpful, and so they thought, before he goes to hospital, we'll actually ring the chemist and see if that medication is available. It was a new medication. They rang the chemist, your local chemist, and they didn't have it because it was a new medication and they hadn't got it, and their supplier didn't even supply it. Is that right?
Yep.
So that was the story. And then, just a little while later, they got a phone call from the same chemist?
Yeah.
From the same chemist, saying, we don't know how this happened, but we've just got a whole lot of, we got all our supplies in from our supplier, and in our supplies was one box of this medication that we didn't even order. How good is God? And it wasn't $1,000 because it was a PBS and you could get it for, I don't know, $6 or $8 or something. Why does that matter? Because I think God had already set that up.
Yeah.
Brian didn't have to go to hospital. The medication made a significant difference. Why? Because Jenny was listening to the Father's heart. Yeah. We're not talking just about prayer because you're supposed to pray. We're talking about prayer that actually comes from the Father's heart. So those are the two things. That's my very long introduction. Two things. The challenge to go out of our way because we haven't had to do it, and the challenge to take every opportunity to pray, because prayer makes a difference when it comes from the Father's heart.
That's good.
You okay? All right. Well, we spent some time 2 years ago really seeking God about his vision for Overflow. And the vision that we came up with, as we waited on God, as we really sought him, as we tried to wrestle with what it looks like for God's heart for Overflow, this is what we came up with. A family of wholehearted people. Why don't we say it together? Because it goes in better then. Okay. A family of wholehearted people becoming unmistakably like Jesus, going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day, wherever we are. So we're just going to go through that vision, and we're going to pause, and I'm going to invite somebody to come and give a testimony of what God's already been doing in that area, and we're going to pray into those areas as we go. So you get to partner with the prayer, because remember we said our priority is every opportunity prayer. So guess what? We're going to pray into the vision as we share it. Okay. So the vision for family is that we will be wholehearted, as in our hearts will be whole, healed up, transformed, living in peace. Do you know, it's so powerful to live in peace when the world is so anxious, when our hearts are healed up and we're living in shalom, in God's peace, people notice. People really notice. That our relationships flourish, that we're able in our families to do and be the sort of people that God's inviting us to be in our family relationships. That as the church community, we learn what it is to be in unity, even when we disagree. And boy, didn't COVID give us an opportunity to disagree. So the question is, in disagreement, will we still hold on to relationship? Or will we put the need to be right above the need to be unified? But God's challenge for us as a church family is to choose relationship over being right. And I'm really proud of you for doing that, because if you didn't do that, you wouldn't be here. He's inviting us to commit to church family life, for church family not to be just about me and what I like and what I need, to actually be servant-hearted in church family, to be willing to contribute, to be present, to actually turn up, to belong, to be the one that goes out of your way to welcome somebody new, to stay for morning tea when it's probably easier to go somewhere else, to get involved, to pick up the bingo card and think, I hate these games, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's not about me. All of that sort of stuff. And also to be real and courageous. Wow. It's actually been a hard season for family. When people who've been part of our family aren't here anymore, that's hard, isn't it? And we grieve, and we feel like we've lost. We've struggled. Maybe you've struggled with discouragement. There's not as many people in our services. That feels weird. It's just hard. We don't need to pretend. We can be real about that, and let God minister to that and to our hearts in that. In the whole area of family, we've got some specific areas that we're wanting to be accountable for as a leadership team. And on your handouts, you will have that. So we're not going to go into that today, but it is exciting to see that there's some specific things that we'll be doing as we go through the year, intentionally building those key aspects of family so that our family flourishes. I've asked Catherine to come and share a testimony of just one of the things from last year's Flourishing as Family was that we held a relationship course, because we're wanting relationships and family relationships to flourish. So we're just inviting people to share some stories about what God's already been doing in bringing transformation to our relationships.
Thank you. I told Chris it'd be a quick one. I may have exaggerated, but I'll talk fast. This is a testimony about the relationships course, partly, and partly about something else. So last year, Mike and I were so blessed by that relationships course, mostly by the analogy of the code books, because previously when we would disagree, one of us would become rather defensive and inflexible, and somebody else would capitulate for the sake of harmony, and we never really got to the root cause of actually fixing the problem, because then it would come up again. But
we love kids.
Understanding that those reactions were old habits coming out of deep, often untrue beliefs was a huge help, because we could not only then focus on what we actually needed to talk about instead of it turning into a big thing, but then we also have been able to grow together. I'm going to send you back to Daddy in a minute. We've also been able to grow together as we unpack and heal from those previous, those incorrect beliefs. So that's been really good. But I also want to say that having the tools is only part of the equation, right? Because you can communicate beautifully, but if you don't have love, you're not actually going to get the change that you need to see. And last week, Mike and I heard from that friends of ours are divorcing, and she is a psychologist and he's a police officer, and between them they can communicate and they can come to a resolution and they can get to the bottom of things. So what happens? And I just firmly believe that he did not have love or access to love that would allow him to change and be flexible and compromise. And she did not have access to love for herself to create boundaries in order to protect her heart from resentment and bitterness. And so tools are fantastic and we're so grateful to have the tools from that relationship course, but at the same time, I just want to encourage you that if you need patience, Chris Valentin said he was praying for patience and God said, don't pray for patience, pray for love, because love is patient. Sure. Love is. All of those things in 1 Corinthians 13. So if you need those attributes, I'd encourage you not to pray for patience, for trust, for forgiveness. Pray for love. And so now when we're struggling with patience, either with each other or the children, it's usually the children, we pray for love. We ask God to fill us with love, because that is the main thing. And God is love, and he shares himself freely with us. So the tools have been wonderful, and we're so grateful for that. But I also want to encourage you to access love that we have free access to.
That's beautiful. Thanks, Catherine. Yeah. And you'll notice that there is, as part of this, there's going to be a marriage course next term, and also available, we're exploring the possibility of a course for people who are single, and also a course for people who are looking to be in a relationship in a sort of a dating way. So that's there's some options for, I think we've covered just about everybody in that, but we want to sow into relationships because we want relationships to be healthy. As part of our family flourishing. All right. I feel like there's a specific area that God's inviting us in this area of family to be real about. And I just want to share some heart stuff now. Because family life, church family life, and home family life can be difficult. And if we're being real, I think this season has been pretty discouraging for many of us, quite wearying, sometimes overwhelming. And in church life, it hasn't been easy. And last night I had the privilege of joining with some other churches in Newcastle at a prayer and praise evening. And while I was there, a young man came up to me and he said, "Are you from Overflow?" And I said, "Actually, yes, I am." And he said, "Oh, I just wanted to tell you that I came to your church once last year, and listening to the message, I felt like God showed me that I didn't know him. I knew about him, but I didn't know him for myself." And he said there was also a word that you were praying for people who were thinking of suicide. And he said, "That was me." And I was sitting at the back and I didn't want to come forward. Not that we certainly wouldn't have made that public, but he said, "I didn't want to get prayer, but God used that to show me that he knew what was going on in my life." And he said, "After that, I went on a journey and I got to actually know Jesus for myself." And he's part of a church now that's encouraging him, and he's growing. And I thanked him for sharing that, because sometimes when you sow for a long time, you don't always see what comes out of that. And so God was using that, and I felt like he wasn't just using it for me, he was using it for us, for every single one of you, because what you sow, when you choose to encourage someone, when you choose to speak a prophetic word, when you choose to be here when you could have stayed at home, when you choose to welcome a stranger, when you choose to volunteer to care for our kids, when you choose something in, when you choose in, you won't know, you won't see necessarily the fruit of that. But God just put a verse on my heart last night, and it was a verse to share with you, and it was this verse here. "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm." You know, my heart breaks for the many people who haven't stood firm in this season. There's many people who haven't stood firm, but God is encouraging each one of us to stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I feel like that's his word to you today. As you've sown, as you've served, as you've been generous with your heart and generous with your giving and generous with who you are, he wants you to know that your labor has not been in vain. And this has been a difficult season. It's been a season where we've grieved, where we've lost. But the Father wants you to know that what you have, as you've served him, that labor has not been in vain. And I feel like I'm going to ask our worship team to come, because I'm sorry this isn't the end of the message, but this is the little interlude, because I felt like the Father is wanting to refresh our souls.
That's good,
Chris. Is there anyone here who feels soul weary? Our soul is just the human part of us. Is there anyone here who feels soul weary? I'm not going to put you on the spot. It's just like, it's just been a weary time. Like, and I just felt like the Father is wanting to minister to our souls. Do you know what the shepherd does? In Psalm 23, it says that he restores our soul. Can I just invite you? We're going to just let the worship team worship over us. And I'm just going to invite you, be real. You don't have to. I've shed so many tears in this season. More last night. Just be real. And if you need your soul restored, some of you might like to get on your knees, some of you might like to just put your hand on your heart, but just be real. Some of you might like to just come and wait here. I don't care what it looks like, but let God restore your soul. Come, Holy Spirit. So that vision for family, we also have a vision for discipleship, becoming unmistakably like Jesus. Not only do we want to be a family of wholehearted people, we want to become unmistakably like Jesus. We want to do what the disciples did. They were with Jesus. They learned from him. They became like him, and they got to the place where they were able to do what he does. And that's what a disciple does. I'm up for doing what Jesus does. I don't want to be a theoretical Christian. I want to do the things that Jesus does. Word, sign, deed. The good stuff. I love that Jesus didn't do his own thing. He listened to the Father and he obeyed. He said he only does what he sees the Father doing. And that's what a disciple does. It's a lifestyle. It's a journey of listening and obeying. That's what discipleship is. It is actually becoming a disciple-making community. It's being disciples who make disciples. And that's one of the really exciting things. A small group of us have been doing BDC, which is Building Discipleship Culture. And we will be rolling that out over the next season. But one of the exciting things for me has been just seeing my own growth in the sense of wanting to help other people become disciples of Jesus in a more intentional and thoughtful way. It's also been a real encouragement about the priority of prayer, just the laying the foundation of what's God doing? Where's he at work? Who are the people that he's already preparing their hearts to become followers of him? And there's a tool called Discovery Bible Method that we're going to be using in small groups in the coming term. And that tool is a tool that any one of us can have in our toolkit to actually become disciples who make disciples. If we're going to obey Jesus, that's what we get to do. We don't get to just tick a box. We actually get to be disciples who help other people become disciples of Jesus as well. So that is pretty exciting. And on your on your sheets there, that on your handout that you've been given, you'll see some key priorities that we are activating during this year of 2022. And one of the exciting things I also think about that is that Zach, you are getting to disciple young people and also having some opportunities in the school. So that's one of the places that we're really intentionally investing as we want to see young people from our school community and young people from our broader community come into faith in Jesus and be discipled in that whole area. So those are some specific areas that we are going to be putting time and resource into. Donna. The Discovery Bible Method is actually an invitation to people to read the Bible with you. And Donna was very brave and she asked somebody to read the Bible with her. So we're going to hear her story.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know me very well, I grew up in an unchurched family. So when we had to pray about who we would share this little tour with, God gave me the answer of my father and my stepmother. My stepmother has never been in a church. She's had quite a sad life, except for hatch and dispatch. So she was the one who really was kind of taking it in so much. I really didn't want to do it because it was a very awkward thing. And then all these obstacles came up. We had a COVID scare, we were on holidays, I went back to full-time work, and I just didn't have this time. I also didn't know where to start. I thought, what passage will I share with them? I had no idea where to start with someone who'd never read a Bible before. So God was on their case, though, thank goodness. And we rocked up at their place one day accidentally and unplanned. And Dad got this letter in the mail. He goes, I got this letter in the mail. Can you explain what it means? And it had a reference to Revelation. So I don't know how many people started reading Revelation as the very first passage in the Bible with someone who'd never read the Bible, but that's what I did. So that kind of increased so many our quality of our relationship. It also led them to ask so many questions, and it was really applicable to their life at the time. So when they started asking all these questions, I was kind of like, oh, so do you want to do some more reading from other places that will help us answer those questions? And they're like, oh, yeah. So the second passage we did then was from Isaiah. yeah, we'll get to the simple stuff later. so that was really God-led. God also led me to that passage through partly through Zach, partly through another friend, and partly through Chris, that just came up to answer the questions that they were asking me, that I said, I don't know the answers to what they're asking me. So stay tuned, I don't know, maybe we'll get into the Gospels next. That was my aim in the start, but it wasn't God's aim. So, yeah,
thanks, Donna. Thank you. Yeah, it's really exciting, that opportunity sharing God's word with people who don't yet know Jesus. And that's a really, really exciting opportunity for us. All right, what I'd like us to do now, because we're going to be intentional and not sitting back, we're not spectators, we are the church, I'm going to invite you to turn maybe twos or threes. You don't have to, so if this is uncomfortable for you, I don't want to help anybody feel uncomfortable or under pressure, but I would love us to just take the next minute to pray that as a church family, we would become more like Jesus. Just that the prayer, that prayer would become a greater priority for us, and that we would be a people who intentionally set ourselves to become more like Jesus, to be with him, to do what he does, and to become like him. So can I invite you to do that? Let's pray for the next, you only have a minute, so make it short. Bless you. Be brave. Thank you.
we invite you, Jesus, we invite your Spirit to change us, not just from the outside in, but from the inside out. Just put our hearts to you humbly. Just know that you know what is best for us. You know that becoming unmistakably like Jesus isn't becoming less of who we are, but becoming more of who you designed us to be.
Yeah, it's good.
So help us to be willing to do whatever's necessary. To not just know you, Jesus, but to know you and to be with you and allow you to live within us. The deepest of friendship, stronger than any best friend, any husband-wife relationship. You want to know us. You know us intimately. You want us to know you.
Yeah.
And to spend every day enjoying you, just walking through life with you. So we're just in this season, we just ask you to tell us what we need to do to experience that. Help us to be obedient children who know that you have the best in store for us.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to do that together as a church family, as a community of believers. We just thank you that you're so passionate to see that happen. So we just want to partner with you in seeing ourselves become more and more like Jesus. And then, and also for other people to become to know just how good you are, how loving you are, and how they can come into relationship with you and become like you. Lord, may it just be a contagious infection in this church that just spreads your kingdom like nothing else. Help us in that, in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Brad. The last area is we're asking God to give us a vision for outreach, for going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day, wherever we are. And there's just, as part of this, there's just an invitation for prayer, prayer and prayer. I feel like in this season, God is inviting each of us to actually grow our prayer life. There's a few areas that you might like to do that. One is motivation. I've just been praying and asking God to help me to be more motivated to pray. And one of the simple things that has come out of that has been like just writing a list of 30 people to pray, and instead of just praying for them one each day of the month, to actually contact them that day and say, what's a breakthrough that you need? Do you know that makes such a difference when you contact them rather than just praying for them? Out of probably for the last 7 days, at least 3 out of those 7 days, I've had people come back to me saying that the breakthrough that we prayed for has happened. Like, talk about motivation to pray. Answered prayer is a really good motivation to pray. Another thing is that we're thinking of starting a prayer thread, just, you know, where people can actually put some areas down that they need prayer for and have other people pray for them. Prayer projects, like God puts something on your heart and instead of just doing it yourself, you gather one or two people and say, look, for the next 3 weeks, can we pray together about this? Some beautiful things that just make a difference when you're doing it together. Whatever, wherever God invites you, can I encourage that prayer? I feel like the tide of prayer, he's just inviting us to partner with. Listening to the Holy Spirit, going out of our way. Yesterday when I came home from my walk, I was just about to go in my house and the lady over the road who I've been praying for was out in the garden. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, just go over and chat to her. And it was like, really, God? She's right at the back of the garden. That's just going to be really awkward. Like, but she had some plants for sale out the front. So I thought, oh, I could go and talk to her about the plants that are for sale. So anyway, sometimes you just got to get over that, like, the awkward. But it was just... And it wasn't a hugely spiritual conversation. It was just a connecting conversation. Like, but it had to go out of my way. And God's inviting us to go out of our way. And like that opportunity to pray with somebody that I've been building a relationship with in a local coffee shop. And I said to them the other day, how's your week been? And they said, it's been horrible. And they're child had been expelled from school, and I said, would it be okay if I prayed for them? And so they gave me the name of the child and talked about it. I was like, oh man, like just that offer to pray for people. It's such a door that's open, and so many people are willing to let you pray if we think to make that offer. Can I just encourage us to be people who go out of our way? That's what God's inviting us to as part of our vision. I love this vision because there's some things that we can do individually, that every day, wherever we are, you can do that individually, wherever you are, every day. And there's some things that we can only do together. There's things like overflow care. There's things like ministry in the school. There's things like in a little while we're going to be looking at a loving our community event like we did last year, some sort of activity or event. There are things that we do corporately. So there's things you can do individually and things we can do together. It is costly, but it is exciting as well. And Jenny is here because she's got some exciting things she would have a million things to share from what's happening in the church plant over at Gilston Heights, River of Life. But I've only given her a little squidgy bit, but she'll be excited to tell us what God's doing.
It's exciting and it's just difficult. And our first preparing to do this community connections outreach, so many of you have prayed for us with that. We can't do it without you and without the prayer behind. The motto that we have as a church plant, River of Life Church Plant, is overflow the love of God. And that is what we prayed right into in the weeks leading up. And God gave us some specific people to look for. Bright yellow shirt, cap, I think they call it treasure hunting. Cowboy boots, just specific things like that. And it really brought us encouragement to be able to overflow God's love to these people that came to these events last week and the week before. We were able to give out 27 gift bags that had New Testament Bibles in. So Gilson Heights, now these homes have Bibles in them that didn't have before. And then last Sunday, another 24 gift bags with Bibles.
How good is that? Woohoo! Yeah.
It's a stepping out, and it's a deciding that the fear of rebuttal or man, the fear of man, is not as great as the love of God. And that's the motivating force, is the love of God.
That's good, Jen.
How good is it? And we miss these guys. They're not with us on a Sunday morning anymore. We miss their family. We miss some others who've gone with them. And so it is costly. But it's precious to know that there's a whole other work that God is doing over at Gilston Heights. And we bless you and we bless that church plant, and we're excited to see what God's doing. Yeah. So we are going to pray again, just maybe in your little groups, 1 minute, that God begins to give us that boldness and the willingness to go out of our way just before we finish up the service. So can I invite you to do that again? A minute to pray. God, help us to go out of our way. Give us that boldness. Give us that willingness to step out.
I know you're still praying, so please feel free to continue to do that if you're in the middle of something. But I also just felt like God has a good plan back for you. Homework in a good kind, and that the outreaching term is until term four, so you've got a bit of time to do it. But I just felt like term four has a real focus on the going out of our way, being bold, going over that chicken line, being courageous. And I felt like God was inviting us to think about how we can actually learn how to be more bold. And God is a God of fun, and God is a God of dreams. So I just felt like an opportunity for us to take away. I would love for each and every one of us to go away and have a conversation with God of what's something that I've always wanted to do that I've never had the courage to do? What's something that I've always wanted the boldness to be able to go and do? It doesn't have to be something spiritual. It could be scuba diving, or it could be
skydiving.
Planting a new garden, or skydiving, heaven forbid.
That would just be my worst nightmare. No, Dad, some things, but not that. I just felt like you to go, I just really would love for you to go away and just have a dreaming moment with God and be like, what's something that I can do that is bold, that is new, that is different, that's going to prepare me for Term 4? Because how exciting is it going to be that you're going to transform into somebody who is more bold and more courageous? So that's your homework until Term 4. But for right now, Dad, I just thank you that you are so good and you're always speaking to us and that you always have good things for us. Thank you that you want to grow us and you want to challenge us and you want to give us an increase in being bold and being courageous. So Dad, we just ask for opportunities to be more bold and more courageous, and we just ask for incredibly good listening ears and just a growth in that area as well, to hear your voice, to hear exactly how you want us to be bold, when you want us to be bold, and what that looks like. So we just pray a blessing over everybody here for an increase in hearing your voice, and knowing exactly the increase in that courage of how to be bold and how to be who we are and who you are in us wherever we are every day.
And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much for listening to what we have shared this morning. There's just one more invitation to take a moment and listen. We actually have a response card. And we thought about handing them out. We thought about leaving them on chairs. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to make people come and get them. You want a response card? You have to go out of your way. So, this beautiful team is going to pray, is going to sing a blessing over us. Brad, did you have anything else you want to say now? Or you wanted to, oh yes, you were going to unpack, just talk about this when you...
So we just want to...
Make it...
We don't want to keep people... Busy, but we just don't want anyone to miss out on playing a part in seeing the mission and vision of the church at work. So this is, if you're actively involved in ministry and or you're part of a small group, we're not asking you to do more and more stuff. We just want to give opportunities where people want to be more involved, better connected. And so there's a range of opportunities that we just want to, you know, start a conversation with. If you wanted to become a partner of the church, we can give you information about that. If you wanted to become part of that prayer network that Chris talked about, we can make a specific group. So we just want to bombard people with emails that they aren't necessarily wanting to receive. So we want to have a discreet group of people who really want to hear about what the prayer needs are and to be actively praying. Connect groups is just one of the most brilliant ways of us becoming more like Jesus and helping other people become more like Jesus. So we want to give every opportunity. If you want to be part of a connect group, give it a try in Term 2. If you want to participate in baptism, there's a really significant spiritual step. If you haven't done it, it makes a difference. Jesus didn't say to do it for no reason. If you've yet to become a follower of Jesus, we'd love to talk to you about that. And there's a whole range of different areas that could be possible for you to serve in. So again, just want to give you the opportunity, if you want to find out more about being involved, being connected and serving, just let us know and then we can get in touch with you and just talk about. And if you're not sure where I might be best fit, we can talk to you about that. So, yeah.
Thanks, Brad, super helpful. So what we're going to do is we're going to just invite you to sit for a moment. There's a question that we would love you to contemplate as we finish our service. So thank you for listening. I know it's been a long service and you've done amazingly. Here's the reflection for us to just listen for you to reflect on that, those couple of questions. Thanks for being part of what God's doing here. Jesus, love on these people because you're good. Thanks, guys.